Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Saturday, September 18th, is the feast of Saint Joseph of Cupertino, Franciscan priest. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis tells the faithful of the Diocese of Rome that synodality expresses the nature of the Church. In a video message to a conference on the protection of minors, the Pope says he hopes to see real and reliable change in the Church. And the United States has confirmed that a drone strike in Afghanistan at the end of its mission there killed an aid worker and his family. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, addressing the faithful of the Diocese of Rome on Saturday, Pope Francis described the upcoming synod with the theme for a synodal church, communion, participation, mission, as a journey in which the whole church is engaged. He noted that the synod will take place between October 2021 and October 2023, and that the itinerary has been conceived as a dynamism of mutual listening conducted at all levels of the church and involving the whole people of God. Francesca Merlo has more.
The first stage of the synodal process, from October 2021 till April 2022, is the one concerning the individual diocesan churches.
Ed è per questo che sono qui, come vostro vescovo.
That is why I am here, as your bishop, to share, because it is very important that the Diocese of Rome commits itself with conviction to this journey, said the Pope, addressing the faithful of the Diocese of Rome. He explained that synodality expresses the nature of the Church, its form, its style, its mission. The word synod, in fact, contains everything we need to understand. It means walking together.
La fase diocesana è molto importante.
Pope Francis said the diocesan phase is very important because it involves listening to the totality of the baptized. Walking together discovers horizontally rather than vertically as its line. The sensus fidei, Latin for the sense of the faith, qualifies everyone in the dignity of the prophetic function of Jesus Christ, the Pope said, so that we can discern what are the ways of the gospel in the present. He explained that the exercise of the sensus fidei cannot be reduced to the communication and comparison of opinions that we may have about this or that theme, but single aspects of doctrine or that rule of discipline. He added, nor could the idea of distinguishing majorities and minorities prevail. It is necessary to feel part of one great people who are the recipients of the divine promises, continued Pope Francis, open to a future that awaits everyone to participate in the banquet prepared by God for all peoples.
Non si tratta di un privilegio essere popolo di Dio, ma di un dono.
Here, the Pope said, I would like to point out that even on the concept of the people of God, it is not a privilege, he stressed, but a gift that someone receives for everyone, that we have received for others, a responsibility. I have come here to encourage you to take this synodical process seriously and to tell you that the Holy Spirit needs you, concluded the Pope.
C'è un episodio nel libro dei numeri.
Listen to him by listening to yourselves and do not leave anyone out or behind. This, he said finally, holds not only for those present, a people that of Rome which contains a variety of all peoples and all conditions, what an extraordinary richness in its complexity. I'm Francesca Merlo.
An important international conference on the protection of vulnerable children and adults for churches in Central and Eastern Europe starts in the Polish capital, Warsaw, on Sunday. Organized by the Vatican's Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors and the Polish Bishops' Conference, the September 19th through 22nd meeting has as its theme our common mission of safeguarding God's children. Pope Francis has sent a video message to the participants, hoping the effort will bring about real and reliable change in the Church and in the hearts of Christians. Robin Gomes has more.
In his video message to the Warsaw Conference on the Abuse of Minors, Pope Francis recalls an important meeting of leaders of bishops' conferences from around the world that he convoked in the Vatican in February 2019. He remembers encouraging church leaders to ensure that the well-being of victims is not sidelined in favor of the misguided concern for the reputation of the institutional church. He says it is only by facing the truth of these evil practices and of humbly seeking pardon from victims and survivors, that the Church will find its way to a place where it can be relied upon once again as a place of welcome and safety for those in need. The Holy Father says that our expressions of sorrow must be converted into concrete pathways of reform, both to prevent further abuse and to give confidence to others that our efforts will bring about real and reliable change. He encouraged participants in the Warsaw Conference to listen to the cry of the victims and to dedicate themselves with each other and with society in a broader sense to these important discussions, saying they truly touch not only the future of the Church in Central and Eastern Europe, but also the hearts of Christians. The Pope says participants in the Warsaw meeting are not the first to have taken the responsibility to take these steps, which are necessary, and probably they will not be the last. However, he assured them they are not alone in these difficult times. The Holy Father pointed out that the recognition of our errors and failings can certainly make us feel vulnerable and fragile. However, he says, this recognition should be regarded as a moment of splendid grace and self-emptying that opens new horizons of love and reciprocal service. If we recognize our mistakes, he says, we have nothing to fear because it is the Lord himself who has led us to this point. Pope Francis concludes his video message urging participants to be humble instruments of the Lord at the service of the victims of abuse. They should consider themselves as companions and protagonists of a common future, learning from each other and becoming more faithful and resilient so that together the Church may face the challenges of the future. I am Robin Gomes.
That video message is expected to be aired tomorrow, Sunday, for the start of the conference. Meanwhile, Jesuit Father Hans Zollner, the director of the Institute of Anthropology at the Pontifical Gregorian University and a consultant at the Commission for the Protection of Minors, is at the conference. He spoke with Devin Watkins about the goals of the Warsaw meeting and the challenges facing the Church in the region.
The goal of this conference is, first and foremost, to show that the Church has to engage and to commit in the protection of minors and other vulnerable people in any place in the world, in any region. So we are happy that for the first time we have a major conference organized in the Central and Eastern European countries, which have a special history in the sense that they have been certainly the churches there have been under siege for decades under the reign of communism, and there has been certainly some difficult situation there in dealing openly with criticism, with wrongdoings, and with handling cases of abuse.
Are there any particular cultural aspects that make this region more particular than any other?
From my experience, having traveled around the globe, in almost all places, people would say that it is difficult for them to speak about sexuality as a topic, as an issue, with people, sometimes even within the family. But there are historical aspects that make it probably more difficult to speak. One is that the communists were certainly spying on people, and the Church was a stronghold of freedom. But you could retain that freedom only if you didn't really trust the authorities. You didn't trust law enforcement because it was clear that you were the enemy to the government and to law enforcement. There was no free and controlled justice system. And, of course, media were also inclined to take up any kind of allegations easily. And all this, the attitude towards state authority as such, law enforcement, to media and to psychology and psychiatry is not easy for all those who have grown up under communism.
That was Father Hans Zollner of the Pontifical Gregorian University, a consultant for the Commission on the Protection of Minors. He was speaking with Vatican Radio's Devin Watkins. Very briefly, Canada's bishops have announced that they are going to be holding their plenary assembly online for a second consecutive year due to the ongoing health crisis. The virtual format will address a number of important subjects, including the pastoral priority of healing and reconciliation with Indigenous peoples, to which the bishops of Canada remain fully committed. Turning now to world news, a top American general has confirmed that one of the last U.S. military operations in Afghanistan accidentally killed an aid worker and 9 members of his family in a drone strike that had targeted Taliban leaders. Nathan Morley has that story.
This is a major blow to the prestige of the American military. A U.S. investigation found that an aid worker and 9 members of his family died in the August 29th strike, which occurred just days after a terror attack at Kabul airport following the Taliban's return to power. It was one of the U.S. military's final acts in Afghanistan before ending its 2-decade operation in the country. U.S. Central Command's General Kenneth McKenzie said American intelligence had tracked the aid worker's car for 8 hours, believing it was linked to ISK militants, a local branch of the Islamic State.
I am now convinced that as many as 10 civilians, including up to 7 children, were tragically killed in that strike. Moreover, we now assess that it is unlikely that the vehicle and those who died were associated with ISIS-K or were a direct threat to U.S. forces. I offer my profound condolences to the family and friends of those who were killed. This strike was taken in the earnest belief that it would prevent an imminent threat to our forces and the evacuees at the airport. But it was a mistake.
The awful consequences of this miscalculation have now drawn questions about the accuracy of future counterterrorism operations in Afghanistan, with a U.S. presence no longer on the ground. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that he apologized for what happened and will endeavor to learn from what he described as a horrible mistake. In a separate development, the Taliban have excluded girls from Afghan secondary schools after they ordered only boys and male teachers to return to the classroom. A Taliban spokesman said secondary classes would resume, but made no mention of girls or women. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Finally, Mexico City on Saturday is hosting a summit of the community of Latin American and Caribbean states, which is set to tackle issues affecting the entire hemisphere. James Blears reports about the aims of the CELAC meeting.
The presence of Argentina, Cuba, Bolivia, and host Mexico are spearheading the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States meeting, which is being attended by 16 leaders. This is confirmed by Mexico's Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard. Top of the agenda is the region's response to the pandemic, which has infected millions and killed thousands. Another key topic is the plan to establish a special fund to respond to climatic disasters, no coincidence, because this is the hurricane season, which has already brought widespread damage, flooding, and mudslides. Politically prevalent is the so-called pink tide of socialist leadership, including Andrés Manuel López Obrador of Mexico, Bolivia's Luis Arce, Peru's Pedro Castillo, Argentina's Alberto Fernández, and Cuba's Miguel Díaz-Canel. The Cuban president significantly attended Mexico's 200th independence celebrations on Thursday. It's his first trip outside Cuba since nationwide protests in July about food and medicine shortages. Mexico extended a fraternal helping hand by sending ships of food, oxygen tanks, and medical supplies to Havana. On Mexican Independence Day from Washington, a message from President Joe Biden saying, "Mexico is one of our most valued partners. Together, we're able to promote many mutual interests and cooperate in shared challenges." CELAC will also be discussing the possibility of reforming the Organization of American States, better known as the OAS. For Vatican Radio, James Blizz reporting.
In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.